They say 1 is the loneliest number, but I think it's pi. No one even knows its full name.
If you just read the bio for Dr. Steve, host of Weird Medicine on Sirius XM 103 and made popular by two really comedy shows, Opie and Anthony and Ron and Fez, you would have thought that this guy was a bit of, a clown.
Why can't you give me the respect that I'm entitled to?
I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valve, exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast it with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for my ailments, the health equivalent of Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in the tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease, so I'm paging Dr. Steve.
Dr. Steve!
Yo,
from the world-famous Cardiff Electric... screw it up every time. Network Studios, it's Weird Medicine, the first and still only uncensored medical show in the history of broadcast radio, now a podcast. I'm Dr. Steve with my little pal, Dr. Scott, the traditional Chinese medical practitioner who gives me street cred with the wacko alternative medicine assholes. Hello, Dr. Scott.
Hey, Dr. Steve.
This is a show for people who would never listen to a medical show on the radio or the internet. If you have a question, you're embarrassed to take your regular medical provider. If you can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call at 347-766-4323. That's 347-POOHEAD. Follow us on Twitter at Weird Medicine or at DrScottWM. Visit our website at drsteve.com for podcasts, medical news, and stuff you can buy. Most importantly, we are not your medical providers. Take everything you hear with a grain of salt. Don't act on anything you hear on this show without talking it over with your doctor, nurse practitioner, practical nurse, physician, assistant pharmacist, chiropractor, acupuncturist, yoga master, physical therapist, clinical laboratory scientist, registered dietitian, or whatever. All right. Please don't forget stuff.drsteve.com, stuff.drsteve.com for all your shopping needs on the holidays. That's stuff.drsteve.com. You can scroll down and see cool things that we've put on there, including the Flatus flute, which is now back on sale. So go to you can just go to flatusflute.com for that. We have nothing to do with that. It's just hilarious. So stuff.drsteve.com, flatusflute.com. If you want some stocking stuffers, go to tweakedaudio.com. That's T-W-E-A-K-E-D audio.com. Offer code FLUID, F-L-U-I-D, will get you 33% off your earbuds of choice. And that's like buying 3 for the price of 2. It's pretty cool. Check out Dr. Scott's website at simplyherbals.net. And don't forget our Patreon. I'm doing Patreon with Tacy. We've got a bunch of old classic stuff on there that you can't find anywhere else. Pre-Dr. Scott stuff. The Ass Crack Challenge, where we demonstrated how when you... so stupid. When you get your ass crack waxed, that when you pass gas, it sounds different. Because you're it's like a clap with two hands rather than a flutter with, gloves on.
That's why you have ass hairs to mute parts. I mean, that's the only reason.
Right, so it sounded totally different. It was cool. So, and I demonstrated that. And then... and then what Tacy and I are doing Patreon exclusive shows, and we're going to do some, when we get up to a certain number of subscribers, we'll do a live Q&A, we'll do some other things. There's different tiers, all kinds of stuff. So check it out, patreon.com/weirdmedicine. I even made new music for it, Dr. Scott.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, so it's based on the theme that Sherwin Sleeves wrote, because I would never disrespect him, but it's an electronic dance music version.
Oh, God.
Should I play it for you guys? I think probably I should. Let me see if I can get it here. I hadn't planned on it. You know, I just talk about this stupid shit and then think, oh, God, I wish I had thought of this earlier. Where is it? L-M-N-O-P. Okay, it's dummy. All right. This is one of them. And then I did something else that was sort of cool, too. I think it was cool anyway. Well. But we just talk over that.
Yeah.
Now, I did something that was sort of fun. I saw a video of a guy who took a classical piece of music and went on this website, Fiverr. Have you heard of it? F-I-V-E-R-R. And you can just hire people to do stuff. I think it was called that because originally everything was $5.
Okay.
And now things are just whatever price they are.
Okay.
But there's electronic music producers out there that will take whatever music you have and make an EDM version or produce it differently for you. So I got on there and I got three different people making a new theme song based on the original Sherwin Sleeves theme song.
Okay.
Which, if you want to hear the whole thing, most people have not heard the second verse. Go to drsteve.com, just put in theme song, and it's about the third thing down.
All right.
Don't forget to check out Dr. Scott's website at simplyherbals.net. That's simplyherbals.net. And you've got something new that you're doing. Are you ready to talk about it yet or no?
Nope.
Nope. Okay.
No, it's coming. It's coming.
Okay.
Yeah,
you're going to sell it on there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be a whole different deal. But yeah, I'm looking forward to sharing when it's time. It's a little premature. A little premature. We'll get to it, though.
Yeah, it's like a big deal.
Huge deal. Huge deal.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, huge deal. Well, so, right. Yeah, looking forward to sharing some new stuff instead of always having
nothing.
Nothing. Showing my ingenuity and my forward thinking, Dr. Steve.
Yeah, well, shit on you for not sharing with us, but that's okay. It's I know what it is, and it'll be worth the wait.
Yeah, it'll be cool.
All right. Cool. Well, you got some stories you wanted to bring us?
Yeah, you know, I got a couple good stories.
Okay.
One of which was talking about the COVID-19 vaccination and using it something that I do every single day, which is the old ancient Chinese form of cupping.
Oh, I read this. This is very interesting. Yes, yes. So give us a synopsis of this.
Little
story.
Synopsis real quickly. At Rutgers School of Engineering, they were showing that with the COVID vaccination, and if you use the ancient form of Chinese cupping, that it increases the strength and really the efficacy of the shots by up to 100 times.
Okay, so tell people what the fuck cupping is, because they don't know what the shit you're talking about.
Yeah, cupping.
So I had to get both of the forbidden words in at once. I'm in a mood today.
Hey, have we been kicked off YouTube yet?
I had, well, they won't kick us off for that. They'll kick us off if we espouse certain political views. I got Invisalign put in today, and so I'm in a shitty mood because my teeth hurt. But after October, I'm thinking of doing some TV, and I can't talk about that either.
What?
But I can't do it with my teeth being all crooked on the bottom like
no,
that.
No, no.
Because my mom, I almost said my stupid mom. That would be disrespectful. But my mom wouldn't get me braces when my wisdom teeth came in, and they just all my teeth got mushed together.
So you're going to have this funky lisp until you finish with your Invisalign.
Do I have a lisp?
Just a little teeny. Yeah, I can tell. I can tell by just the.
It's because I bit my lip so many times. It's all swollen. Yeah, yeah. What it is they the Invisalign, they put these anchors on your teeth.
Ugh.
And then that's what the thing hangs to. So it's really, it's a lot, I think, I don't know, maybe the people that sell those ones where you just buy the home kit.
Yeah, that's what I was envisioning.
No, me too. I just thought it was things that you just
slip
wear.
On like a mouth guard kind of.
No, they snap on onto these anchors. And those anchors, I just keep biting the inside of my lip with them. And they said that'll go away or you'll get used to it after a while, just like a kid with braces.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm 66. Why? I mean, I felt like the most vain old asshole, you know, going in to get my teeth straightened. But when I do cameos for people,
right on.
All I can do is see this tooth. It looks like it's missing because it's just, you know, it's mushed out of the way, and I don't like it. I look like some old coot, toothless old coot.
An old hillbilly doctor there.
Well, He never did have to brush his teeth. So anyway,
just didn't have the whereabouts, the whereabouts.
Nope. So anyway, so yeah, that's so the lisp is coming from me trying to move my lip out of the way of these anchors.
Yeah, because you're making a weird motion with your lips right
Am
now.
I?
Which I could just tell as soon as
that's
you start.
That's funny. I should just put the fucking things back in. Yeah. I took them out for this.
Oh, hell fire. Well, that's even worse.
Yeah, I should put them back on.
So you're doing that without them in.
Right.
Oh, damn.
Well, because it's the anchors.
Yeah, 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 but I didn't know that. That's
they feel like little bony prominences on the outside of my teeth. Only certain teeth. But it's 30 weeks, and then I'll be done.
Wow.
You know, it's none of this 2-3 year crap like they used to do.
Right on. And having to go in and tighten the wires and all
then I'll have them whitened, and then I'll look like, because I look at people on TV with these teeth of theirs, and I'm like, God, I look like a rube. If you don't have perfectly straight white teeth on TV, you look like a maniac.
Yeah, you look like something's wrong with you.
Yeah, you look like Steve Buscemi.
You're no Steve Buscemi.
No, because he's so awesome, he can get away with it.
Yeah, he is. He's cool.
But anyway.
He's got some skills for sure.
All right. Well, anyway, sorry.
That's pretty cool.
Sorry, but that's why.
It's all good.
Okay, tell us the story.
Yeah, but they were talking. So suction is, we use suction cups. It's the exact opposite of massage. Think about a massage. You're mashing and kneading and pushing.
Yes.
And the cupping is exactly the opposite. We're sucking the skin and the muscle and the fascia up, increasing blood flow and taking some of the stress off of especially bony attachments. So what I love to do.
I remember
do,
like, you first explained it to me. It's the only modality. It's just like sometimes you just want to get your hands under your skin and then lift it up and
take the tension off of those bones.
Yeah.
Use them. I use them a lot on
this
shoulders.
Does that.
That's exactly what this does. It takes the tension off of those muscles, and it feels pretty good. There are two ways. The old classic way that I was trained, we use cups. It can be glass. It can be bamboo. Anything that'll hold a vacuum. You put literally a drop or two of alcohol in the bottom of it, and then light with literally. So I'll light a cotton ball full of alcohol. Stick it in. And it lights that little bit of alcohol and creates a little bit of an explosion. And, of course, that creates...
That sounds great.
No, but I'm just telling you, that's why I don't do this very often, the old form. But then with that vacuum, you flip it over and put it on the skin, and it pulls up and creates a traction.
Okay, so what you do is you heat up the air in there.
Yep.
And then when it cools down, because hot air has more volume than cold air. And since the cup itself can't change shape.
Nope.
When the hot air cools down, it creates a decreased pressure. It's not really a vacuum.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Vacuum-like. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. It's vacuum-like. Yeah,
it's a decrease in pressure, and it sucks in.
It sucks the
skin up in.
So what's the other way to do it? You just hook a vacuum thing up to a port.
The way I do it. They're plastic cups, and you have a little plastic suction that you put the. In this way, you can. And there's no.
It's got a port on it.
And it's much safer. There's no risk of fires and burning people.
Yeah.
Because a number of times I've had it done the old school way, and if you miss getting the suction just right a couple times, then the rim of that glass or whatever gets hot.
Yeah, sure.
So I don't like doing it that way.
The whole explosion
thing's no good.
Right.
Yeah. I like to do it to show off, but like a magic trick. But
or like doing a flambé.
Looting like a flambé.
At the table.
Exactly.
Turn out the lights.
Just a little too risky for me.
Nobody wants to see that.
No. But probably the way I do it is with just a really simple plastic, and it's a little trigger mechanism. You put on the port there, and you suck the air out of it. And that way you can put it exactly where you want it.
Right.
So, if you come in, let's say you had a total hip replacement.
Okay.
And you've got a surgical scar on that hip. And the scars, it's scarred down. I would put some coconut oil over that and just do this cupping up and down along the scar line.
Okay.
And it pulls that fascia, and it really does work pretty well.
Hmm.
So, but I will tell you.
You told me before about, getting adhesions.
Yep.
And there's no other way to do it.
No other way.
With massage, you're just mushing them down, but with this, you're lifting it up. So that makes sense. Yeah. So tell us, how does this have anything to do with the vaccine?
Well, I was intrigued, but what they're saying is by using the cupping over the injection site, it increases the blood flow to this area and increases the response. And I will tell you in a kind of a parallel universe here. What we found is a lot of my buddies, and they're your friends as well, that do injections into joints, especially like PRP or stem cell. There's actually increased efficacy with stem cell and PRP injections if you use either acupuncture immediately after the injection or the cupping because of the same exact thing. So it's kind of cool that they came up with this study.
Yeah.
Yep. Just increases blood flow, and helps really ease the
well, makes sense.
The stress of the body.
Okay.
Yep. So
all
it's
right.
Kinda cool.
I'll buy it.
Kind of cool.
So some damn. I think.
And
I
it's real science, big boy.
Yeah.
Real. I like
so
real.
Not
science.
Everything Dr. Scott does is complete horseshit, is what
or,
he's saying.
Or it may be horseshit, but at least we have some science to prove that it's horseshit.
Okay.
So that's a good thing.
Cool. So what did they find in this? That it. How did they measure their outcome? So they give the person the injection, mm-hmm. and then they did the cupping over it, mm-hmm. which makes sense. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like massaging something, but with the negative pressure, you will increase blood flow, just like a penis pump. If people think this
yes.
is crazy,
exactly.
that's how a penis pump works.
The same exact same thing.
You put the old schlong in the thing, and you evacuate not all of the air. That would be crazy, because then your penis would explode. But enough to draw blood into the penis. Then you slip a cock ring over it.
And remember, and it will only become so large.
Yeah, that's right.
Regardless of how hard
that's right. There is a limit.
How hard you pull on it. But, you know, evidently after an injection, after any kind of injection, if the blood flow is not there, some of this can actually get trapped, and it actually breaks down and degrades pretty quickly in an area. But if you'll get it circulating into the bloodstream quicker, that you have less of that breakdown.
Yeah.
That's my understanding. So,
okay. So,
of course, this is a first of its studies. It's brand new, and it was in a rat, on rats. So, they've got a long way to go.
Okay. Oh, it was a rat study?
Yeah. Hey, but it's. Hey,
no.
Hey, you got to start somewhere. You got to start somewhere.
Now, let's see. I'm just trying to see what they used as an. Primary
kind of an endpoint.
Outcome endpoint. Yeah. Yeah,
I didn't see. I did not see a primary endpoint, but okay. I have read about something.
Said first, the vaccine is injected into the skin, then the suction machine, which has a 6 millimeter orifice applied at the injection site for 30 seconds, isn't painful, leaves no mark, and it showed that. Oh, okay. Well, you said this. It showed the suction boosted the amount of antibodies made by 100-fold.
Mm-hmm. 100 times. Yep.
Holy. Okay.
That's
now,
huge. That's
I didn't.
Huge.
I didn't get that outcome measure.
Oh, yeah. No, but I said that. I swear.
Yeah, you said, I know. I think you did. I think you did. Jesus.
That's huge. That's a huge number. That's a huge number.
Well, yeah, it is.
Yeah, if you think about it.
Holy effing S.
That's
okay.
Kinda,
yeah, cool. All
kinda,
right.
Kind of cool. So,
you know what they'll do is they won't send people to you, though.
No. Nope.
They'll they'll make a device.
Yep.
And here's your you know, post-injection suction device, and poor Dr. Scott, who for 4,000 years have been promoting cupping,
right.
and it finally is shown to do something real, they're just going to take it from you.
And I've got, I'll be standing on the street corner.
Because you can't.
Sucking all by myself.
You can't, yeah. He will for $5 a throw. Wow, that's really interesting. Okay, good job.
That's pretty cool.
Good job.
That's great.
What else you got?
Yeah. Well, you want to stay on something kind of interesting.
Would be good. We're here to entertain.
Well, let's do this one. I found this the other day. Okay. An Italian doctor. They call him. He's an Italian gynecologist.
Mm.
A gynecologist allegedly offered to have sex with some of his patients to help them be cured of a virus.
Okay.
Now I want to know where the research on this is.
Okay, so tell us the story.
So he's 60 years old.
Nice.
And he goes by the name Dr. Magic Flute.
What?
Dr. Magic Flute, and he was uncovered.
What? Come on. Is he even a doctor?
He's a physician, and he's a gynecologist fraudulently offering and allegedly offering to have sex with female patients to cure her This is the beauty of this, to cure her of her cancer-causing virus.
Oh.
So I guess she had had a pap.
Oh, my God. This poor woman has cancer.
Yeah.
And he's trying to have sex with her.
Oh, no. She doesn't have cancer. I guess she's got HPV and had a pap. And he said if she would have sex with him, it would cure the virus so she wouldn't get cancer. So that's even better.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there you go.
Well, he can't say that he didn't.
Well, at least he's trying. Bless it.
Oh, my God.
And allegedly, this is not the first person, and that's why they
set up
not.
A, it never is.
They set up a sting for him. And you never know what's going to work.
They set up a sting for him?
Yeah, and this one gal who was...
So she comes in and says, I've got HPV. Can you do anything?
Yes, and he was so kind to offer...
Offer him his penis.
His penis, yeah. Dr. Magic Flute.
Tacy and I talked about this sometime, and we're going to probably talk about it on the next Patreon show, that when she's feeling rotten, you know, if she feels crummy, you know, I just, out of altruism, offer, you know, to give her an orgasm.
Yeah, because you're nice.
Because she always feels better afterward.
Right.
But then she gets mad.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to help.
Because she thinks you're doing it for your own personal gratification.
Of course I'm not.
And you're just trying to help.
That's right.
Because you're a good old Dr. C.
I would just do it without having any gratification at all.
That's right, because that's how you roll.
That's right. Anyway, we'll be talking about that on the Patreon.
Uh-huh.
All right.
I'll have to show for that one.
I had one. Cancer deaths in the U.S. fell 27% over the last 50 years. It's not bad.
No, not bad at all.
Fewer people die from cancer in the United States thanks to improved diagnosis and treatment, better understanding of prevention. Well, isn't that the case?
Yeah.
And we're going to have a significant reduction in cervical cancer deaths as the women who had the Gardasil vaccine grow up and don't get HPV type 16.
Right.
And we're starting to see that there are fewer abnormal pap smears, and in the next 10, 20 years, we'll see that there will be a decrease in diagnosis of cervical cancer and deaths from cervical cancer. So prevention is the key.
Mm-hmm.
Said that. It's true in stupid COVID. You know, preventing it, not getting it is the best way to not die from it. And then if you do get it, taking something to prevent you from getting into trouble is the next best thing.
Yep.
And we now finally have some of those things. The Merck drug and the Pfizer drugs, we can argue about which one's going to be better, and the data is still hitting it. You know, the Molnupiravir was a little bit of a, I'm not going to use the Baba Booey term that he used with the iPad when he said the iPad was a bit of a misstep. Oops. But I don't think it's a bit of a misstep, but it's not as effective as we thought. But the other drug looks like it's about 80% effective at keeping people out of the hospital. So between that early IV remdesivir and early monoclonal antibody treatments, hopefully this damn thing will be able to put a stop to it.
Now,
just real quick about the Omicron variant. Right now on Wednesday, December 8th of 2021, it's looking like it took on some DNA of the common cold, which, of course, coronaviruses participate in common colds. There's not a single common cold virus. Mm. So I want to see what they found when they keep saying that, because what that just tells me is it's doing what we said the virus would likely do, would be to mutate into a less
potent, kind of
less deadly phase, but maybe more contagious.
Okay.
Common colds and contagious as shit.
Yeah, buddy.
That's why there's a thing called cold season, you know? So I think that I'm hoping between the early treatment and obviously vaccination and what we've learned about preventing people from getting to severe disease, that within the next 3 to 4 months, we're going to see some real inroads into putting an end to this bullshit.
Yeah, I think so. And Dr. Steve, is it possible that as the virus mutates, it could mutate to a much less dangerous.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to get worse. It can get
No, that's right.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
It's likely to mutate to a variety that's very contagious but doesn't kill the host.
Yeah, just kind of comes
because that's the best thing. The perfect virus would be very contagious and not do anything to the host, so the host doesn't do anything to prevent it.
Yep. Yep.
And just let it multiply to no end whatsoever. We had a call about this. Matter of fact, let me go ahead and get the
One thing. Don't take advice from some asshole on the radio.
Somebody, oh yeah, this guy. I think this is exactly what he's calling about. Let's see here.
Hey, Dr. Steve. John from Chicago here.
Hey, John.
Question for you guys. By the way, I hope you're doing well. Hi, Dr. Scott.
Hey.
Hi, Macy. Macy Reloach, whatever your name is now, you jerk. Question.
I like this guy.
Devil's advocate question for all the people who say, or devil's advocate question to you about we should vaccinate against all viruses and eliminate them, which I'm in full favor of.
Yeah.
But is there, to play devil's advocate for that, most of the common colds are coronaviruses, right?
Well,
so just as an example.
A good fraction of them.
Is it better to have, a cumulative over your whole life?
Maybe. Uh-oh. Oh,
different natural antibodies that maybe just give your body a higher chance of dealing with?
Yeah.
Or does it really?
No, I know what he's saying. And he's right that if we prevented people from getting all the coronaviruses, never being exposed to them when they were kids, then what would happen is as they get older, then they would be exposed to them when they don't have the immunity, when the immunity from whatever we treated them with wore off. And then they'll get sick as shit because we know adults get sicker with coronavirus if they're exposed to it the first time as adults.
Yeah.
So what I'm proposing is that we just wipe them off the face of the earth like we did smallpox.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you do that with an endemic virus? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's going to require a Manhattan Project-style project to do something like this. And we'll have to know a whole lot more than we know now. Now, we got rid of the Yamato version of influenza.
The flu, yeah. Yeah, it's like the
that's
B strain.
Gone. Yep. It's gone.
Yep. And that's just from last year. That's from social distancing and mask wearing.
They really think that it's extinct, so good. Yep. Go F yourself on that. I'm glad you're dead. And then the other one is smallpox. Good. Mm-hmm. We had a handle on measles, and then we screwed it up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to take a different kind of effort. Smallpox was easy because there were no asymptomatic carriers.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so you could just identify everyone that had smallpox. And the other benefit or the other thing in our favor on killing smallpox was that the vaccine was very rapid.
Okay.
So if you found someone that had smallpox, you isolate them, and then you vaccinate everyone around them so that the virus has got nowhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
It just stops in its tracks, and you can do it. You can stomp it out one case at a time.
Wow.
So you start off with max vaccinations. That gets the cases down to the point where you can start chasing single cases around. And then when you don't see it for a year, 2 years, 10 years, it's dead.
Mm-hmm.
It's sitting in a lab somewhere. Some asshole will let it out again at some point. You know that's the case.
It's kind of scary.
Well, people say, you hate to get rid of it. Maybe it'll be useful for something. Well, what you could do is kill all of the samples that we have and just have the DNA. We now can recreate it from just the DNA. We can recreate the DNA strand.
Mm.
So if we really need it for something, we can still have it. So
that's pretty cool.
But that's different. We have asymptomatic. We know we have asymptomatic coronavirus carriers because that's where a lot of these outbreaks come from, are people that didn't even know they had it and they're just spreading it around. And so that'll be harder to do. We'll have to come up with something different. Don't know.
Yeah, no, it's kind of crazy, isn't it?
All right. But that's an excellent question, though.
Yeah, very good.
All right.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, here's one for you.
Hey, Dr. Steve. It's John from Chicago. I haven't called in a while.
Well, it's the same
guy.
Hope
you're doing great.
Hey, John.
Hey, John.
Dr. Scott, hope you're doing good too, buddy.
Super great.
Had a question for you. So as you get older, we all break down and become sad pumpkins and whatnot.
Yeah, no shit.
Wise, but I was thinking from a musculoskeletal perspective, you know, they say after working out, you know, when you're a healthy, you know, your 20s and 30s and 40s, you eat protein or take different amino acids, et cetera, if you're trying to repair the body and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So do you need to take more as, should you take more as you get older? If you do continue to be active, you know, if you're one of those 90-year-olds who's still hitting the gym, or does it not matter? Would a normal load, you know, be still acceptable, and you know, your musculature capability just kind of is what it is? You can't.
Well, a couple of things about that. Human growth hormone helps to promote healing after exercise, and we have less of that as we get older.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, does that? Am I advocating taking human growth hormone to improve that? I am not, but that might be one of the benefits of human growth hormone going forward. What do you have to say about this?
I think it's,
you used to be a coach.
Yeah, and I still believe in exercise and stretching and
Well, that's a hot take.
Yeah, you can't.
I believe in exercise.
You can't look at me and tell, but I really do.
Yeah,
but I think the question is good. I think it's got a lot of moving parts. I think first of all, simple answer is I don't think changing a diet, if what you're doing is working, is a great idea. Some people's bodies that exercise, they need a little bit higher load of carbs,
yeah.
Some a little bit higher load of proteins and fats, et cetera, et cetera. So I think in the aging process, especially as we mature, we become much more comfortable in our bodies. Like right now, I've had to stop eating. And you did too. You and I both have pretty much quit glutens.
Yeah.
Just because we just don't tolerate them very well.
Right,
we just don't metabolize
them
well. We don't break them down. And I think as you do mature and you exercise, you'll figure that out if you're doing that. I think there are some wonderful supplements, but I think as you age, we have to be a little more cautious with supplementation.
Yeah.
And but you know, like you were saying, the HGH is down, but other things have decreased.
Testosterone's
decreased. The pliability of bones decreases.
Yes.
The pliability of the tendons decreases.
Tell me about it.
Muscles are ripped
both of my plantaris longus tendons in my leg. Yep. Both of them.
Bad. Well, and, you
running.
Know,
so and to, running is stupid.
Well, it is. Running is bad. Yeah, it's a good way to get hurt. But, you know, and even me, pretty good health. But, and you know this, about 2 weeks ago, I was putting my dog in the car and reached funny, and I tore a damn tendon in my shoulder. And it's just because it's just not as, there's not as much fluid. There's not as much viscosity inside the joint. And I'm certainly not as much pliability, but, you know. Changing diets in a big way, not so much.
I worked with Richard David Smith and his wife, Shatai, who is Mama Sun Ra on Twitter.
Okay.
And check them out. They make Hyperphysics, HYPERFIZZICS. This is not a, well, I mean, it's a plug, but it's not a paid promotion. They did send us a 12 or 24 pack of Weird Medicine branded Hyperphysics, and you're on here.
Yeah, it's a good.
Did you see that?
It's a good, like.
Yeah, it's got GVAC on here. It's got you, me, PA Shit.
Yeah.
Oh, Dr. K is on here.
You think it's Dr. K? Is that K or is it?
Yeah, it's not. It's not Diane. We changed it to Diane later, but it's Dr. K.
I see it now. Yep.
So. Yeah, and then our old Weird Medicine logo. So that's pretty cool. So they make energy drinks. But I had talked to them a long time ago about making a pre- and post-exercise set of drinks. And the pre-exercise one would have arginine in it to increase blood flow to your muscles.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to get when Liam was doing cross-country, I did a lot of research trying to figure out how can I help him do better.
Blood doping kind of stuff.
But some of it was
from elementary school.
When do you eat?
Right.
And, you know, when do you take a dump and stuff like that? Because he would puke every single time. He would run by us at the end. He'd be covered in puke.
Yeah, poor thing.
And then what do you do afterward?
Mm-hmm.
And the crazy thing was, what I found was, although there were the studies on using things like arginine and things that increase nitric oxide, that increase blood flow to muscles, probably will help an elite athlete mm-hmm. get another percentage point.
Mm-hmm.
Because these elite athletes, particularly like swimmers, you're talking hundreds, maybe even thousands of a second.
Yep.
And that makes a difference to them. Mm-hmm. You and me will never notice the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Carb loading. Mm-hmm. You and I would probably not notice the difference in carb loading for long distance running because we're not elite athletes.
Right.
So, but what I found was the best thing after, in all the research that I did, the best thing I could find that wasn't some crazy concoction was chocolate milk.
Wow.
You know?
Hmm.
Because it's got the carbs, it's got the protein, as long as you're not lactose intolerant. Yeah. And you see things like Muscle Milk and stuff like that on the market.
Sure.
But chocolate, just plain old chocolate milk is
works
probably
well.
Just as good as any of those. So we really didn't pursue it, although I do think that the pre-exercise thing still made
arginine,
sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I think post exercise, just lots and lots of hydration, like electrolytes and hydration.
Yeah,
just to help you heal. I mean, that's what I do.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. You can't run if you're just dry.
No.
So you have to be well hydrated because your body needs a lot of
it's got fluid.
Fluid to do what it does.
Got that fluid.
Yeah. All right. Very good.
Great.
By the way, I did not see anything in my studies that showed that one supplement's better or more of one is better in people who are older.
Mm-hmm.
But you do want to make sure that you get your testosterone under control. Excuse me. Because if it's low, you're going to be weak. You're not going to perform well.
Mm-hmm.
It is performance enhancing if you bring it back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
All right. If anybody's got any.
And you don't heal as quickly, too, if you have broken things.
Yeah. So the HGH thing, I have seen some study on using it for elderly people who have musculoskeletal injuries to speed healing. Talk to your doctor about it. It's not really standard treatment yet.
No.
But I've seen some studies on it, and they look reasonable. And it looks so.
Oh, shoot, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
All right. Okie doke.
Hey, Dr. Steve. This is Phil from Tampa. I'm calling a follow-up. I called about the homocysteine, and you told me about the MTHFR gene.
Yeah. So should we talk about that just real quick for people who don't listen every week?
Sure.
This guy had like a mini stroke, and they couldn't find anything except his homocysteine level was elevated in his blood. And I said that I really had a feeling that he may have a genetic mutation called MTHFR. And if you go back and look at our podcast, it's called UMTHFR is the name of the podcast. So it looks like UMF.
Yeah.
And you can detect that in your data if you look at your data dump on 23andMe, because that's how I found out I had it.
Okay.
And that way you don't have to do a bunch of expensive genetic testing. But anyway, so that's what he's calling about.
I want to let you know that I just sent out, put in the mail today, my box for 23andMe based on your suggestion.
Okay.
And I'd love to keep you up to speed. I don't know if calling the voicemail every time would be best or to email you.
Yeah, either one.
I forget the email. I'm sorry. But just let me know, and I'll get the results in a few weeks, and I'll let you know if I have that mutation.
Okay. Yeah, that's cool, man. Just definitely call us back, email me. If you all don't know how to email us, just go to drsteve.com, click contact, and then ignore all the warnings. Those warnings are not for you. That's for everybody else who isn't a listener to this show that is trying to get free stuff off of us and stuff like that.
Yep.
All right. Okay. MTHFR. That's something. And folks who have MTHFR have to take B12 and folate supplements that are different than everybody else because they can't absorb them. And that's where the problem comes from. So you have to take methylated B12 and methylated folic acid. Mm-hmm. When you do that, you can absorb them just fine. Works great.
What about the injectable, the shots? You like them better than the...
Yeah, so no, that would be fine. That would be okay. Fine. All right. Here we go.
Hey, Dr. Steve.
Hey.
This is Steve in New York.
Hey, Steve.
I have a question. I'm following the Elizabeth Holmes saga.
Okay.
And I'm wondering why when some blood tests, like a proton or a glucose test, only requires a tiny bit of blood, like just a little droplet.
Yeah.
But other tests cannot be done with that amount of blood. You know, everything that's in the blood, it's all microscopic, right?
Right.
So why do you need more than a droplet of blood, which contains multiple, probably millions of...
Do you know what he's talking about? Because he's talking about the Theranos case.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I haven't been following it very closely, but my understanding is that they claimed that they had a blood test that would do all kinds of stuff with just one drop of blood.
Checking for all types of cancers and diseases.
Yep. And so he's asking, why can't you do that?
Yeah.
And the answer for that is sensitivity.
Okay.
So some of these tests have... results that are resulted out in nanograms per deciliter. Okay?
Okay.
So nanograms per deciliter. So a deciliter is a tenth of a liter.
Okay.
So it'd be 100 milliliters. And a nanogram amount. Well, okay. So you know what a 2-liter bottle is.
Mm-hmm.
Take 1/20th of that. That's 100 milliliters.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to try to detect nanogram amounts in that.
Okay.
Now, decrease that by 1,000
mm-hmm.
in a single drop, and you can't detect it anymore.
No.
You just can't. It has to do with the sensitivity of the lab instrument itself.
Mm-hmm.
They just need larger volumes than that, and that was what they said that they had fixed,
mm-hmm.
but they were telling a fib.
Yeah. Can I ask a question about the two?
Course.
And two, if you have too small of a sample, you may not get all of the little things floating around inside. Is that correct or is it inaccurate? In other words, you know, like sometimes...
Well, again, that's sort of the same thing as if you have something that's in nanogram mm-hmm. or deciliter amounts and then you get it that small, there'll be a lot less of it in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even impossible that you could miss it,
That's what I was wondering. Maybe, possibly.
I don't know. I mean, we're talking about... When you talk about jerking off
mm-hmm.
and there's 250 million sperm cells
that's a lot.
Whatever it is.
It only takes one.
Yeah, that's right. But it's hard to imagine that many things could be in a volume that small. Let me get the number again because maybe it's 2 million, but it's more than a million.
Yeah.
Echo, how many sperm cells are in one ejaculation? See if she knows that.
Sorry. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, I bet you're not. Okay.
I don't believe her.
Let me just Google it. Carl from WATP loves this. How many sperm in an ejaculation? Okay, see, it's right there.
There you go.
Dummy.
You're not the first person to Google it.
No. Okay, 2 and 5 milliliters of semen. And there's usually 100 million sperm per ml. So I was right in the first place.
Wow.
Yeah, 200, 250 million. Damn. And then if there's less than 20 million sperm per milliliter, they say that's a problem. But like Scott said, you only need one. Why isn't 20 million enough? Good God.
That's hilarious. I love to
masturbate. Good Lord. Okay. All righty. But that's the answer.
Cool.
Oop.
Charleston.
Hey, man.
I have a follow-up on Lyme disease, tick-borne illnesses, and the such.
Yes.
So we've got a bunch of dogs, and they are on tick preventative oral medication.
That is correct.
Keeps ticks off them, keeps fleas off them. Works pretty good. So for people who spend a lot of time in the woods hunting, you know, and hiking and camping and that kind of thing, couldn't we come up with some kind of oral medication for those people? Or maybe there already is one, and I'm not aware of it. Yeah. Maybe there's some sort of massive problem with doing so. Anyway, I feel like, you know, that would be a natural follow-up to the wildlife diseases episode.
Yeah, which is awesome. He was going to say it was awesome.
Awesome. So thanks.
Oh, yeah. Good. Yeah, we'll let the Kill Masters know.
Yeah. They would like to know.
Yeah, we got a pretty good response to that one. If you want to hear the podcast version of that, just go back. It's called You'll Never Go in the Woods Again, I think. That's the name of it. But here's the thing. If you go on Reddit and ask this question, you will get so many bullshit answers.
Right.
And they'll start talking about the flea collar. So there are people, I had friends that were in Desert Storm, and they would wear flea collars on their ankles for the sand fleas, and it would burn their skin because it's meant to go on hairy
coats,
not on human skin.
Yeah.
And then other people say, well, organophosphates and all this stuff, they're poisons and they'll build up, and a dog doesn't live as long and it doesn't accumulate as much. And the thing is that these drugs that he's talking about, they're fluraloner and a foxaloner. That's NexGard and Bravecto. And these things may also work in humans to kill off pests like mosquitoes that spread diseases like Zika and malaria. So they're actually studying it.
Cool.
And so they tested these two drugs on disease-spreading mosquitoes and sand fleas, found that the drugs were effective at killing off the insects that consume the compounds through samples of human blood. Using computer modeling, the researchers then estimated giving these isoxazoline drugs, about a third of the people living in areas prone to outbreaks of Zika would prevent 97% of infections.
Dang.
Now, I mean, it's pretty freaking dramatic. They need to test these things in humans, but apparently there's not a significant reason not to. Let me see what it says here. When used in animals, the drugs kill off pests by harming the insects' nervous systems. If it proves safe and effective in humans, researchers suggest that when a disease-spreading bug bites a person taking the medication, the insect would die before they could bite another person. And a single oral dose of under 500 milligram would provide protection for 90 days. So you'd take it every 3 months if you're in an endemic area.
Wow.
And it would just kill the stupid bugs. It doesn't just let them live and then prevents you from getting it. And then sometimes you get sick because, you know, some of the malarial drugs make you sick. This kills the fucking things. Good. Wow. I'm all in favor of this.
Yeah. That's incredible.
Just kill the shit out of them.
Yeah.
I hate mosquitoes, and I hate viruses.
Do mosquitoes serve a purpose, a good purpose?
No.
I don't think so.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Yeah. They are bat food, and bats are good.
Bats are good.
Bats are cool. So they provide food for the chain, but them...
They're part of the
sucking blood and then bjorking malarial organisms into our bloodstream, that does not do anybody.
That does not help us, no.
I got bit. My friend Chuck Brady, he was an astronaut, and he wasn't at the time that we did this. We were going to do a ham radio tour down the Haw River, and we were going to start in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and end up at Cape Fear, And our wives were just going to go on down and meet us. And they were going to have a big old time.
Okay.
And then meet us down there, and then we were going to spend a week at the beach. And we were doing this to call attention to the Haw River because it, at the time, was being endangered by a lake, which is now Lake Jordan Lake or something. And it was before the internet and before either one of us had any sense whatsoever, because we built this giant raft.
Okay.
And we had a ham radio, we had food, we had coolers, we had tents, we had all this stuff. And we get about 2 miles down the river, and there's a fucking dam. Where did this come from? And the first dam we got around, the second dam, there was no getting around it. And we didn't want to portage our crap all the way around. We knew we were screwed. We had really messed up.
Yeah.
So we ended up camping in the middle of nowhere. There's no road. There's nothing. It's just land and river. And we found a little clearing, and we set our stuff up. And I got bit by so many mosquitoes. I mean, my face was puffy. I started feeling febrile. I mean, I was getting sick from just the whatever, you know, the reaction to their saliva that causes the itching and all that kind of stuff. And Chuck and I both, and we were like, if there's one mosquito here with malaria, we're getting malaria today. But there wasn't. We didn't get anything, as far as we know.
Wow.
Of course, part of it may have been all the DDT in my fat layer, because when I was a kid, we used to get behind the DDT trucks and run through the smoke. I remember the smell. I liked the smell of the smoke. We'd run behind it for blocks.
Oh, my God.
The thing's just blowing.
Isn't that wild?
Yes, DDT out.
Unbelievable.
In some sort of petroleum fog is what it was.
Yep, unbelievable.
So, and when, so you assholes who talk about this treatment will get rid of toxins. If you can get rid of the DDT in my subcutaneous fat, then I'll believe it. We should be able to test it before and after. It's still there, from what I understand.
It. Yeah, I guarantee it.
And we'll test it before and after. And if there's less of it after, then I will buy whatever your stupid toxin thing is. And I won't even call it stupid after that.
Yeah, you will.
No, I won't. Not if it works. All right. So anyway, they are studying this.
Okay.
Those two drugs particularly. Now, do not take these on your own. They're just stages of planning phase one study in healthy volunteers. So do not take this shit on your own. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, shit. Wait a minute. That was 2018. Oh, God. I'm the worst. Okay. Hang on. So let's, Dr. Scott.
Yeah.
Let's look. And I'm an idiot. Let's look up isoxazolines for humans and see if those studies are complete. Isoxazolines.
I am so glad you didn't make me read that word, because you'd be wearing you would be wearing me out right now.
I am
hillbilly language.
I am submitting your attempt at pronouncing balanitis to Carl for a cringe of the week.
Okay. It was pretty horrible.
Okay, let's see here. The investigators found that this class is effective against sandfly and mosquito species that feed on humans. Okay, well, all right. So, looks like not complete yet, but they're working on it. So
cool.
Yeah. Yep. So do not take these drugs. If you have them for your pet, I'm just telling you, don't take them until the phase three studies are done. Okay?
No.
You got to show efficacy, and you got to show safety. All right. Jesus, that was terrible.
Got to replicate.
Okay, this is one for you. Oh, I want to do this one. Now, this is Stacy DeLoach. He's allowed to say this on our show. Hang on.
One other thing, too. And Casey, I miss you.
Well, thank you.
Run something by you real quick. Real good friend of mine introduced me to an organization years ago called the Bat Coal Foundation, BATCOLE. And it's about children with pediatric cancer. The young man that the foundation is named after would have been 18 years old had he not passed away from pediatric cancer.
Okay.
But his family has come up with a wonderful thing.
Okay.
Because they're still very interactive with pediatric hospitals and oncology organizations. So they've kind of come up with a wish list on Amazon, and I'm hoping that you'll attach the show notes, in the show notes, the Amazon link. And what they've got on there is just a list of toys that their hospital needs or their organization needs or would like to have to supply to other pediatric hospitals.
Okay.
Some of them are just dirt cheap. I mean, it's as low as $6, and it doesn't cost you anything other than just buying the toys.
Yeah.
Down at the bottom, you need to add their organizational link to your address book, and then Amazon will take care of shipping any of the toys that you pick off of their wish list straight to the Batcold Foundation.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Great organization, something that really helps little kids.
Yeah.
And then just Google the Batcold Foundation. It is really, really amazing. Okay. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. Thanks,
bye.
Man. Yes. Yeah, so. Here we go. I'm looking. It's Batcole Foundation. That's all one word. BATCOLE Foundation/donate. And I'm going to Amazon. So if you do Amazon, when you buy something, it'll donate money to them. Well, hell, we want you using Amazon stuff.drsteve. But let me see. There was, Amazon wish list. Okay. So what you want to do is go down to the Batcold Foundation, go down to the Band-Aid wish list, and it has all kinds of bandages and stuff like that. Plus, then you can look at other things. I bought a bunch of toys and things like that. And if you look, Dr. Scott, sure. Just while I'm doing this, go to Amazon and look. See if you can look up wish lists and just look up Batcold Foundation.
Sure.
It's Batcole Foundation. And I'm just kidding. If you want to use their smile.amazon.com link instead of ours, that's fine. It's a better thing anyway. But using their Amazon wish list, I bought a bunch of toys and stuff, and just they just ship them to them and they take care of it. And when you do that, it's not like someone's taking 10% off the top of the toys. You know, they got nothing. They can't use them for anything. I know a lot of people, when they make a donation somewhere, they're worried that a lot of it's going to administrative fees and things. And when you send toys to an organization like this, they can't take a cut of it. I guess unless they return some of them, but they're not doing that. Mm-hmm. So that's cool. Check out the Batcold Foundation. I think that's awesome. We only have about a minute left, and someone's got a cervical radiculopathy, and they
okay.
need to ask you, Mo.
Let's do it, yeah.
Okay.
Miss you, Tacy.
Oh, no.
But
oh.
I've been dealing with arthritis in my neck, upper part of my spinal cord, for about 4 years. And it's the last 3 or 4 months, it has just progressively gotten worse. Now it's down between my shoulder blades. It kind of falls.
Okay, so we're almost out of time. Tell him in 30 seconds what he should do.
Oh, well, stop doing whatever's making it hurt, number one. Number two, ice. ice, baby.
Okay, what about cervical traction?
Yeah, you can do cervical traction.
Do you believe in that?
I do, but it has to be very gentle.
Do it under a doctor's or...
Very gentle, yeah.
Healthcare provider supervision,
yeah,
including physical therapy.
Physical therapy, yeah. Yeah, and certainly we can do interventional stuff, acupuncture, epidurals, facet joint injections, cupping.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things we can do to treat this.
Just
for sure.
go...
It's something we treat every day all
yeah,
day
long. Yes, yeah. of course.
Yeah, we can fix it.
Okay. This is one of those...
we can go more.
Was that Johnny Fairplay used to say? Your show is just tell everybody to go see their doctor. In this case, yes.
Yeah.
We're just going to tell you to go see your doctor. All right. Jesus. What do you think we're going to say? Okay. Well, let's do a couple more questions before we get out of here. You had one from the chat room, I believe.
Yeah, from Love It.
Love It.
Love It. Love It.
Well, I don't know if I love it or not.
Love It. That's a good question. What's the difference between the cold and the omnivirus cold?
Yeah, the
Omicron.
Yep. Okay. So Omicron is a variant of SARS-CoV-2 because it has some genetic material in common with that virus, but it also has some genetic material of the quote-unquote common cold, which we kind of talked about this a little bit earlier in the show. That's just a term, a bucket term for all kinds of viruses that cause a mild upper respiratory infection that's viral. So we have influenza. Flu-like illness causes fever, headache, cough, and sore throat, and those kinds of things. It causes a viral tracheobronchitis, and that's pretty distinctive. So when you see somebody with a fever in during flu season, first thing you're going to think of is influenza. At least it was the first thing that you would think of. Now it's more likely we're going to think COVID, or and now we're starting to test for other things too. Yeah. So when people come in with flu-like illness, where we now call it COVID-like illness, we test them for COVID. We test them for respiratory syncytial virus and two kinds of influenza.
Gotcha.
Now, but the common cold is sort of like influenza. It can cause a sore throat. It causes a cough, make you feel crummy. Usually you don't have a fever with it. Mm-hmm. And these are caused normally by adenoviruses. There are rhinoviruses. Coronaviruses can cause them as well. And the dirty little secret about this is that about 10,000 people a year in this country, more or less, will die from quote-unquote atypical pneumonia, which we know back in the past was probably coronavirus. But we didn't test for it because there weren't enough people, and there wasn't anything you could do about it. So those people just died undiagnosed, and they on their death certificate would say atypical pneumonia, probably viral pathology or etiology, something like that. Well, now all of a sudden we care about these coronavirus infections, and so we will be testing for those now, and we can see how many quote unquote common cold viruses cause 80-year-old people to die. Because it was usually the elderly or the otherwise immunocompromised that would die from those atypical pneumonias. Not always, though. So, so this Omicron, we'll see. We don't know enough about it yet to know how virulent it is. We know it's pretty transmissible. What I'm hoping is that it is more transmissible than Delta, but has less chances of putting you in the hospital. If that's the case, this thing is kind of will be over just by its through natural selection.
Right on.
If it's more transmissible. If it's less transmissible, then Delta is still going to reign supreme for a while. All right?
Crazy.
Does that help?
Sounds good, guys.
Okay. So let's get this person's question in. I thought this one was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Hey, Dr. Steve. Hope you're well.
Hey, I am, man.
Oh, it's great to hear.
Yeah, thanks.
Hey, nobody wants to listen to that Philip Glass or Kyle Glass or whatever twiddly-diddly jazz crap.
I beg to differ, my friend. What we were talking about was circular breathing, and I said that Philip Glass's Glassworks, the second song on that album, is a good example of people who were using circular breathing to play forever, it seems like, without ever taking seeming like they're taking a breath. They certainly didn't pause. Now, my son's saxophone teacher played in the Philip Glass Quartet, and he talked about this circular breathing business that they had to learn. It was crazy. So, and basically, you say, well, how can you breathe in and breathe out at the same time? Well, you can't. But what you can do is you can store up some air in your upper airway and use accessory muscles to blow it out while you're breathing in through your nose. So let's finish with this guy said, because I disagree. I love Philip Glass music.
Check out Trombone Shorty. He does that circular breathing, and, you know, he's from this millennia.
Okay.
So there you go.
All right, so let's check out Trombone Shorty doing circular breathing. Okay, right there I'm seeing him take breaths, so let me go further into this. Okay, it says from the 230 mark to pass the 5 mark. Okay, so I'm not there yet. Hang on, sorry. Because I'm watching him take breaths there. Okay, so I'm at 230. Let's see. Now he's doing it.
That's amazing.
Wow.
They just... I swear it's not, I'm not playing a loop. And when you watch him do it, you can see how he's doing it. But you and I could not do this.
Yeah.
Wow.
I've seen him do this live, but I didn't realize it.
That's amazing. He's still going.
Yeah. I've seen
Trombone Shorty. Good.
I've seen him do this. He played in a festival one time we were at with Widespread Panic.
Oh, yeah.
And he was playing with those guys. And you just know he's doing something crazy. But, you know, if you've.
It sounds kinda, like he's on a loop.
It was like it was kind of late in the evening, and it was kind of hard to differentiate and figure out exactly what he's doing. But it's incredible.
It's really cool.
We may have been slightly impaired.
That is really cool as hell.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. He's talented. Right. He's talented.
Well, listen, thanks always go to Dr. Scott. We can't forget Rob Sprantz, Bob Kelly, Greg Hughes, Anthony Cumia, Jim Norton, Travis Teft, that Gould girl, Lewis Johnson, Paul Ofcharsky, Chowdy 1008, Eric Nagel, the Port Charlotte Whore, the Saratoga Skank, the Florida Floozy, Roland Campos, sister of Chris, Sam Roberts, she who owns Pigs and Snakes, Pat Duffy, Dennis Falcone, Matt Kleinschmidt, Dale Dudley, Amanda Swan, Holly from the Gulf, Christopher Watkins, Double, Steve Tucci, the great Rob Bartlett, Vic's Nether Fluids, Cardiff Electric, Casey's Wet T-Shirt, Carl's Deviated Septum, the inimitable Vincent Paulino, Eric Zane, Bernie and Sid, Martha from Arkansas's daughter, Ron and Bennington, and of course our dear departed friend, Fez Watley, whose support of the show has never gone unappreciated. We also can't forget Sean and Lovett and Not Cupcakes. And Talk Like a Hick to You. Yes. That's our friend Amy from KY, whose support of this show has never gone unappreciated as well. Listen to our SiriusXM show on the Faction Talk channel, Sirius Channel 103, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern, on demand, and other times at Jim McClure's pleasure. Many thanks to our listeners, particularly Amanda Swan, whose voicemail and topic ideas make this job very easy. Go to our website at drsteve.com for schedules, podcasts, and other crap. Until next time, check your stupid nuts for lumps, quit smoking, get off your asses, and get some exercise. We'll see you in 1 week for the next edition of Weird Medicine.
Thank you, guys.
All right.